Hi, I'm Shay.
And I'm David.
And you're listening to Board on the Air on CFCR, where we talk about board games and board game related topics. On tonight's show, we'll be discussing what we've been playing, the news, and for our main topic tonight, Toon Content Continued.
Yes.
We talked about it last week.
We got a little verbose in what we played and the news,
yeah.
So we didn't give ourselves a lot of time for ToonCon, so we want to go through the schedule
yeah.
and some of our plans.
Did you write down the actual schedule this time?
I have it. I have it pulled up.
Good, because I think you said the wrong time last week, so.
Well, I know it's 2 or 3 weeks from now.
Yep.
Or tomorrow.
Yep.
If you're listening to this live, if you're listening to it in a podcast, then you may or may not miss it.
It might be over. But that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Well, you know what? If you're listening to this on Thursday when it comes out, either podcast or radio, you get some ideas. And hey, if you're listening to this on Saturday, there's still time tomorrow.
Yeah, and you can still get tickets. I think at the door they're $5 more. So it's a whopping $30 as opposed to $25.
Yeah.
It's really nothing. Okay.
So, what we've been playing?
What we've been playing is I played a fun game of Bruxelles 1893. This is an older Euro that just had a reprint done, like all older Euros.
Of course.
In it, you're putting out meeples. There's a main area which has some area control and you get an action from. And the other one, you put out meeples, but if you put out too many meeples there, you're going to lose one at the end of each round. On the main area where you're getting your four main actions from, which are take a painting, build a building, sell a painting, and take some goods, or there's five of them, and then there's buy assistance. And the assistance are good. You can use them once per round. Oh, but at the end of the game, you have to pay their salary, basically. And if you can't, you lose 5 points. It is a neat little it's a neat little Euro game of do this, get something, and you're managing those resources, trying to keep your money up and still have enough money at the end to pay for your people, because you don't want to take too many of those, because you can take them and just discard them, or you can take them to use them repeatedly, because they cost stuff.
Right?
Building the buildings has this neat little mechanic where every time you build a building, it's like clock hands. You're changing them, and they can never be on the same one. And there's one free one and four that have payment stuff. And the different levels of building, you pay two of those, and then you pay three, and then you pay four. And they have to be one of each of them that they're pointed at. So if it's on the free one, only one person gets it, because, you know, as soon as you do, that person moves it off of the free one because they don't want anybody else to have a cheap one. But it is a neat little Euro that's been around for a long time. This is the second time I've played it. It was a long time in between plays. And I've had a good time each time I've played it. I'd like to see the reprint. I don't think I've seen it around here. It was out at Gen Con when we were there. But that is Bruxelles 1893.
Cool.
What did you play?
We got a game of Wonderland's War played. It was Mr. Rao's day at Amazing Stories on Friday.
Yep.
So a bunch of us, we played a 5-player game of Wonderland's War. And this was described to me before going into it as a area control, not really worker placement.
Bag builder,
that's it. Bag builder, area control. And I'm not a huge fan of area control, but I love bag builders, so I was pretty interested in it. Plus, the art is spectacular. It's very Tiny Tina's Wonderland, if you're familiar with the video game.
I am not.
Yeah, you should look up the art for it, because it is actually, has a similar vibe to it.
Okay.
Not the same artist, but kind of similar vibes. I'd say that description of the game is accurate, but the area control is less aggressive than you think it is.
It's not really area control. It's
fighting. It's really more battling.
You're having a battle, and the people you put in that area are your lives.
Yeah, so there's two phases to this game. There's the tea party phase and the battle phase. You're each playing a character from Alice in Wonderland, but like a stylized version of that character. And you have this tea party set up, and there's these cards around each place. On your turn, you can move as far around the table as you want and stop at an empty space, and you take the card that's there. That card will give you some sort of bonus. It might make you roll the dice to get shards, madness shards, which can damage you at the end of the round. But those usually also give you a bigger bonus. And those bonuses can be things like taking extra tile or extra tokens that you're going to pull from your bag, of which have different powers, might let you upgrade your person. Might let you put a castle out, might let you, you forge certain things. Like there's a bunch of different bonuses it can give you. You're going to do that 4 times. If you go all the way around the table and you pass go, basically, you have to roll the dice and take madness shards, depending on how many you roll. And then it refills and you get to take more. You do that 4 times. So you get 4 different cards. And then the battle phase begins. So on your 4th turn, you choose which area you're going to go to. So on the board, along with the tea party, there are 5 different areas. Different locations, again, from Alice in Wonderland. And part of the thing of those cards you're drawing lets you put your meeples out, and those meeples go out into those areas. You then put your leader out at the end of the 4 rounds, and that gives you an extra bonus to that area.
Yeah, and there's some Wonderland characters.
You can get that you can also put out.
From the cards and put out,
too. Yeah, and eventually you get castles out, which also give you a bonus. In the battle phase, you go through each area at a time, and you're going to be drawing from your bag. So there's basically a battle track at the top. You draw from your bag. It has a number on it. You go up on that battle track with strength. If you have a leader at that area or a castle, then you already start partway up, depending on what your strength is there. And you can upgrade your strength at certain points throughout the game. And so you keep drawing until you till you get... Basically, you keep drawing until either all your guys are dead, all your meeples are dead, or everybody has passed and then whoever is in the lead wins, yep. Right? The winner gets the maximum amount of points there. The second place person gets half the points and everybody else gets nothing. The winner also gets to put a castle out, which gives you 2 strength at that location.
Yeah.
And you go through each area to do that. And there are certain cards that let you move meeples around as you play. Certain people have bonuses that I think let you do that. And you're going to do that 3 times. Those two sections, you're going to do that 3 times. And you have a little board that has asymmetric player powers. So everybody has their own little bonuses to what they can do during the battle or during the tea party.
And you can unlock some of those.
And you can unlock those as you go. Yeah. There's also forging discs, which is if you get a certain action, you can move one of your discs that you've drawn out of your bag and put it on your board. And that gets you a 1-time bonus. If you get high enough on there, you get more and more bonuses.
Yeah.
I thought this game was really slick. It surprisingly took us the whole time to play it, even though like it seemed to move really fast. I wasn't bored at any point during it.
No, there's not much for downtime in it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of steps, right? Like each round you're doing 4 card pickups and then you're doing 5 battles and each battle.
And each battle can take a while depending on how many people are there. Yeah.
How many people are there. Exactly. And we played 5 player, which is the max player count. So it's,
it was the longest it was going to take. Yeah. But I had such a good time during it. I thought everything flowed really well. I enjoyed I love the bag drawing, the push your luck. I really enjoyed it. And I won. I won this game. And in fact, I think the thing that amazed me the most is I think this is the best I've ever done against Jordan.
Yes, you crushed it.
I have never been so close to lapping Jordan in a game. Yep. And let me tell you, that is a point of pride for me. Because he's played this game before and I haven't.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a solid game from Druid City Games.
Yeah.
They just did a reprint. I don't think it's delivered yet, or if it has, it's just delivered. The deluxe edition was quite pricey. This one I got off Kijiji, which was just the retail edition. They do have some sort of geek up bits that would be kind of cool to get. But so far they've been fairly pricey to track down, mainly because of the shipping, but they are announced that they have a new shipping partner, so the shipping price should come down, so I may try and get those, because it is a solid game and something I would like to play
over. I'd like to play this again, yeah.
Yeah. So that is Druid City.
Cool.
Yeah, let's get to the news, Shay.
Let's get to the news. So, starting off with a game from WizKids, a new Star Trek game from them. It's called Star Trek Into the Unknown Federation versus Dominion. This is a miniature game, and I thought it looked like X-Wing at first.
Okay.
Like, when I look at the pictures they have of it on the table, it looks a bit like Star Wars X-Wing. But this sounds like it has, like, so it has scenarios to play. It sounds like the decisions you make in those scenarios for exploration also affect later games. So there's that, sounds like there's some narrative aspect to this, okay, as
bit
well.
Of a campaign.
Yeah, which I guess makes sense because, you know, Star Trek is also about exploration and, you know, finding new planets and stuff.
It is the continuing voyages of the Starship Enterprise.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, there wasn't much about how the game is played, but just that, you know, the miniatures are going to be apparently gorgeous. Like, the bigger ones will be painted already.
Okay.
So this game might be expensive, but yes, it looks like the miniatures are going to be beautiful, and, you know, everybody likes a good Star Trek game. So.
Yeah, there's another one that is basically X-Wing. I think it's called Ascendancy.
Yeah.
So this is a different take on that.
Perfect. Monolith Games has taken over,
has bought out,
the publisher Rockham.
Okay.
They now have their control of their IPs and stories, basically.
Who is this again?
I think it's Rockham, right?
No, who is the Rockham ones that bought them?
Monolith.
Okay.
Monolith bought them. So they've put a post out that said that we are looking forward to using these stories and blah, 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 blah. There wasn't any specific announcement of which ones they're doing first.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, this week there was a few...
a few announcements. I'm getting there.
Of that style.
I'm getting there. BGG Origins Game Fair... BGG's Origins Game Fair preview list is live. It has 60 games on it. He said last year there was about 124, so slowly being updated.
Yeah, Origins doesn't have a lot of big announcements at it. Usually they usually save those for Gen Con or Essen.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be a good little game fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another publisher purchasing things, Goliath Games, has purchased Lucky Duck Games.
Yes, this is their second big
purchase.
Yeah,
they previously acquired Funko Games in January.
Yeah.
And now they have Lucky Duck. Yeah. So Goliath is a toy and game company out of the Netherlands, and it looks like they're picking up board game companies.
Yeah, they, from what I see, they really focus on family / party games.
Yeah.
But they want to get into more of the strategy stuff, and Lucky Duck has been successful in that area.
Absolutely. Speaking of Star Trek Ascendancy, there's a Kickstarter coming for that later this year. It's called Star Trek Ascendancy, The Final Frontier. Late 2024 crowdfunding. It's going to be the base game and all expansions plus extras. Gale Force 9 is the one who's behind this. They just finished up a previous Kickstarter.
Cool.
And I can't remember what the Kickstarter was, but yes, they did just finish it.
I know the name, but I don't know the games.
Also from Gale Force 9, this is next year's crowdfund, is Dune. Now I'm going to butcher this pronunciation. I think it might be an artist. Kwisatz Haderach Edition is what it's called.
Okay.
Yep. It's going to be the Dune base game from 2019, Dune 2019.
Okay.
The base game and 3 expansion, but most importantly, it sounds like luxury components.
Okay.
And it's going to be crowdfunding 2025.
There are a lot of Dune games, and yeah, there's a lot of, and they just keep coming because of the popularity of the recent movies.
Yeah. In May, it looks like, Steve Jackson Games is going to be crowdfunding Munchkin Big Box. Now, amazingly, this is a large box, but it doesn't have all of the games of all of the versions of Munchkin.
How could you?
Yeah, I know. Right? It'd be really difficult. But apparently there's going to be 650 plus cards. It has Munchkin Base Game, Munchkin 2 Unnatural Acts, Munchkin 3 Clerical Errors, Munchkin 6 Double Dungeons, Munchkin Bosses, Munchkin Side Quests, and Munchkin Side Quest 2, 50 new Munchkin cards, plus a game board, a sideboard, dice, standees, stickers, kilometers, and other bits. So it's a pretty big box.
Yeah, they just did a deluxe edition on Kickstarter a couple of years back. It has a loyal following. We've talked
about
Munchkin.
We're not a big fan of it.
It doesn't work for us because of that piling on.
Yeah.
And the game doesn't end.
Yeah.
Right?
Cryptozoic is releasing DC deck building game Crisis Collection 2, big name. It's going to have expansion pack 3 and expansion pack 4 in it. And it's coming straight to retail.
Okay.
They are not crowdfunding this.
What? They crowdfunded the one, but that was the first time I've heard of them ever crowdfunding anything.
Yeah.
I haven't played this one. I would like to play it. If it's in the library or something, maybe I'll try and learn it this weekend and try and play it, or if somebody has it with them. But it doesn't have the following that, say, Legendary from Marvel has. But my brother's played it, and he really likes the DC deck builder over the Legendary system. And he's a big Dominion fan, so I suspect there's some similarities between those two.
Yeah. And probably the biggest news of the week, and I am going to try and summarize this because I think you need a business degree to understand this one. Asmodee, their parent company, Embracer Group, is splitting into three companies. So they've called one Asmodee Group, one Coffee Stain and Friends, and one Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. So they don't have the official names for the second two groups yet. Those are just basically for fun right now. And yeah, they're saying, so Coffee Stain and Friends, they're describing as a diverse gaming entity with a dual focus on indie and AAA premium and free-to-play games for PC, console, and mobile, so video games.
Okay.
Middle Earth Enterprises, it looks like it's going to be AAA game development. So basically Lord of the Rings and Tomb Raider intellectual properties. This company apparently owns those. And then Asmodee, which is going to be the board game company.
Okay.
Like, that's their global leading tabletop game publisher and distributor.
Yeah. Asmodee's huge.
Yeah, it's massive. It sounds like having the current structure wasn't profitable. So now they're splitting into three companies, but they might still all be owned kind of under the corporation. Well,
they'll probably be under the same umbrella.
Yeah.
This way they can see what's profitable, what isn't, and then cut the fat, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a whole article about it on BGG. I can't go through all of it because, again, there's a lot of numbers in there. But basically, Asmodee is kind of becoming independent again.
Yeah.
Close. Okay.
Big Kickstarter of the week is the expansion for Earth called Abundance. And they have a whole bunch of add-ons like neoprene mats and bits and all sorts of stuff for the base game and the expansion. The expansion seems cheap, about $29, but the mats for 5 mats was $50. Seemed pricey to me, but I'm trying to limit my expansions because I find they limit how much I play a game.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Let's talk about the schedule.
Sure, let's talk about where we are.
We are bored on the air. We are on CFCR. You're listening to us chat about the news and games and what's coming up this weekend.
Yes, and thankfully our good sponsor, Amazing Stories, is also going to be there, I believe.
Yeah, they're also sponsoring it.
Yeah. Okay, so...
schedule!
One of the things they do at ToonCon, if you've never gone, is you can sign up to learn new games.
Yeah.
They have a teacher assigned to that game, and they usually have 3 or 4 copies of it and a set period to play it in. It's a good way to learn a bunch of games and meet some people, right?
Yeah.
I haven't done this a lot. I did it a couple times last year. I didn't sign up for anything this year. Because I did some longer stuff last year and it seemed like that's all I got to play on those days. So I missed out on a bunch of gaming with my buddies. So not doing that. Plan is to be there Friday, Saturday night and all day Sunday, or most of the day Sunday. We'll see how long we last. Because it is a long weekend.
Yep.
And we do work Saturdays.
Yes, we do.
So we'll see how it goes. Friday night is usually 1 or 2 big games, and then a bunch of little stuff, and then sometimes they do some party games Friday night and late, or Saturday night late. Starts at 6:30, the first games. I think the doors open at 6 or 5:30, somewhere in there. They start off with some fun stuff. Ticket to Ride, Azul, Revive, Lahav, Warhammer, Horus Heresy, and Welcome to Sisyphus Corp.
Yep.
I think those last two are
TTRPGs of kinds, or war games. War games? Warhammer is for sure.
Yeah. Lahav and Reviver going to be are a little bit heavier stuff. And then Azul and Ticket Ride are lighter. Some of the classic lighter stuff, entry-level stuff. Looks like Azul and Lahav have some openings, and everything else is full. The one thing they do say is, if you want to play a game and you weren't able to sign up for it, hang out. People sometimes don't show up. They get tired. They leave. And there's openings, right? And I've had that numerous times where I've seen people say, oh, I want to play this. There's no openings on the schedule, but they show up and there are, especially Sundays, because a lot of people get really tired if they've been there all weekend. Second slot at 8:30 is Apiary and Castles of Burgundy and Libertalia. I suspect that's the new Libertalia, the one that Stonemaier put out. Apiary is another Stonemaier game that was new recently. And Castles of Burgundy is the greatest game of all time, almost. So a good second slot there. They close out the night with Raw, Roleplayer, and Cascadia. So there are no party games, but there will be party games started. It happens every year. Yep. Somebody will bring something out. I like Raw as one of the better auction games. Roleplayer is Thunderworks Games, one of Jordan's favorites, and I have a great time playing it. And Cascadia is a wonderful light game.
Absolutely.
I should have said in the second slot, looks like there's a couple openings for Castles of Burgundy and one for Libertalia. In the late slot, lots of openings for Raw, Roleplayer, and Cascadia all have them. But that starts at 10:30, so you're finishing around midnight.
Yep.
If you're awake, Saturday morning, they start first slot at 9:30. What's on at 9:30, Shay?
We got Altiplano, Spirit Island, Dune Imperium, Wingspan, 18 West, Zia, or XIA?
Zia,
Legends of Adrift System, and Castles by the Sea. I don't recognize the last couple, but all of those are pretty solid choices of games. There's currently spaces in Altiplano, 18 West, Zia, and Castles.
Yeah, so Altiplano, Bag Builder, Spirit Island, Dune Imperium, Wingspan are all very, very popular games. It doesn't surprise me that they're filled up because if people haven't played it, they want to play it.
But listen, there will be Wingspan in the library. There will be somebody to play Wingspan with you.
18 West is a train game. Zaya is a bit of a sort of a Twilight Imperium style game. And Castles by the Sea, you're building blocks. It was at Gen Con as well. Haven't played it, but it looks neat.
Cool.
Second slot.
Second slot is at 12 o'clock, and there is Istanbul, Broom Service, Ark Nova, and Plum Island. Ark Nova and Plum Island still have space. But yeah, Istanbul we've talked about, Broom Service we've talked about, Ark Nova we've talked about, all very solid, fun games. Broom Service is lighter. Highly recommend if there's space in that one.
Yeah, and some of these are in their play to win, so you play and you have a chance to take the game home with you. And that's the last game we mentioned each one. So the Castle by the Sea, the Plum Island Horror, some of those ones, yeah. The third slot looks like some lighter stuff. We got That's Pretty Clever, so a Roll and Write, Viticulture.
Immediately followed by a not light game.
One of the greatest worker placement games, and Five Tribes, which is just AP of the game.
Yeah.
It's fun, but there's a lot of thinking and the board changes regularly.
In between this slot and the next slot, it is the auction. So there is a pause there for the game auction. That list is live. Go check it out.
Yes. 5 o'clock, the auction starts, and they power through about 250 games.
Yep.
And they will go anywhere from $1 to a couple hundred bucks. One of the big, hard to get games that is in the auction is Glory to Rome. This game is out of print with no chance of coming back into print because the two designers hate each other and will not work together to reprint it. I believe it has never been played. So I think the starting bid on that one is $100.
Oh, wow.
I looked through the auction list. There's a lot in there. There's a lot of stuff I already own. I say I'm not going to bid on anything, but I always do.
Yep.
Okay, after the auction at 7:30, we've got
Il Grande, Paladins of the West Kingdom, Zolkin, Nemesis, Warhammer 40K, and War for Chicken Island, And that's my slot for Daggerheart as well. It's just not on the schedule. You can sign up on Friday and Saturday. Come play with me.
Yeah, I think...
Three slots.
There's three slots left. Yeah. You're playing five people and you, right?
Yes.
Okay. This is the new one from Critical Role.
From Darrington Press. It's their TTRPG, very narrative driven. Come have fun with me. We got a quick start game to play. You need no experience.
Yes, and that will go probably most of midnight. The evening.
Yeah.
But hopefully Shay keeps you entertained.
Yep.
If you like how she is on the show, maybe you'll like her in person.
Maybe.
El Grande, Paladin, or Paladin, Zolkin, Nemesis.
They're all pretty
and
full.
And War for
Chicken
Island. This slot is full because there's going to be a lot of people there Saturday.
Yeah.
Friday night and Saturday night are the two busiest times, I find. During the day, it's hit and miss.
People work.
Yeah, people have to work. But once more, show up. You never know. 10 o'clock is the next slot. That's got Ink and Gold and Ready, Set, Bat. And that's your party game in a nutshell. There's going to be lots of yelling, lots of cheering.
If I wasn't DMing, I would be asking to yell with Ready, Set, Bat. So.
Yeah, Shay loves running Ready, Set, Bat.
Yeah.
10 o'clock Sunday morning is Everybody's Tired.
So we play some fun games.
So we got... This is a very, very, very good slot. We got Clank. We got White Castle. We got Mosaic. We got Heat. Power to the...
Pedal to the Metal.
Pedal to the Metal. Twilight Imperium, which runs
classic
all
on Sunday.
And...
GURPS.
GURPS. I don't know what GURPS is, but GURPS Dead in the Desert sounds like a winner. I am going to check this one out just to see what it is.
Yep.
There are openings for all of the games except for White Castle. But it is Sunday morning. Not everybody makes it there on time.
Yep.
Sunday afternoon, Jay, 12:30.
12:30, we got Expeditions, Brazil Imperial, Brass Birmingham, and Evolution Another World. Looks like still space is available in most of those. Expeditions is full at the moment. Evolution is nothing, and that's a play to win, so.
Yeah. Expeditions, New Stonemaier at Scythe 2. Brazil Imperium, I've played a few times. I played it once, went out and bought it, and played it again. We described it as Age of Empires, the board game, and Brass Birmingham is the number one game on BGG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Currently.
Okay. Closing out the day, 3 o'clock. I think everything shuts down at 5. They kick everybody else out and clean up. We got the Village, Sagrada, and a special treat is Blood on the Clock Tower.
Yeah, Blood on the Clock Tower. We talked about it. We played it at Gen Con. It's a social deduction game. It can play up to 20 people. They have 6 people right now, so sign up for that if you like social deduction.
Yeah, more people the merrier for that one. Let's hopefully we can get 10 to 15.
Yeah.
Get more characters out. Get a good feel for it. It didn't hit with us.
No, but I think it would hit for a lot of people.
But I think it's a lot. Some people had a great time with it.
Yeah.
Right? Village, I love. It's almost full, not surprising. And Sagrada is a great
classic
dice placement game. That is the schedule for the week. So we will see you there.
Come say hi to us.
Have a good night.